Just turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 6. We're just going to read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father God, we thank you for your word. We commit this time of hearing your word to you, Holy Spirit. We recognize you as the teacher. We ask you to empower us. Ask you for revelation. The eyes of understanding might be enlightened, that the truths of God we may grasp, not just with the mind, but with the heart, that this might be a time of transfer, spiritual transfer, the values of heaven downloaded into our hearts. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit. And we forbid any unclean spirit to interfere with this transfer for anybody within the sound of my voice. We ask this in the precious name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Well, God laid something on my heart, and the title is Stand Your Ground. But the more I thought about the message and the more it came to me, the real title is Courage. Courage. And you and I, as children of God, in the world that we face today, are going to need a great amount of courage. Amen. Might be regarded as an old-fashioned principle, but let me say that in this day and age, people generally laugh at somebody who demonstrates courage. They say he's a fool. But still, all the same, courage, God's kind of courage, is something that you and I must have if we hope to stand. So you see, it is about standing your ground, but to stand your ground and my ground, we've got to have courage. And I'm trusting God to impart that quality to us tonight in measure as we look at the Bible and understand the principles of courage. Can I just say something? Demonstrating courage is not because there's an absence of fear. Alright? Courage is demonstrated when we are facing fearful things. Can you all say amen? You see, a person who shows great courage is not a person who doesn't have any fear. A person who demonstrates great courage is someone who is facing something and there's great fear, but they stand their ground anyway. Amen? And we need to understand something. You see, the devil's tactic is fear. Terrorism inspires fear in people. Because of that fear, it curtails what we do. The world is full of fear. This whole COVID story is what? It's about fear. It's about fear. Can I just say categorically that if you and I do not have any fear, the devil can't touch us. But if we do, he has every right. You understand? That's why Janet and I walk into many meetings and we recognize everybody there is in fear. They're all masked and they're all sort of, you know, doing the COVID jive. Stand your ground, away from me sort of thing. But we bumble in there maskless and we hug everybody, and before long, guess what happens? Everybody's mask gets thrown off and they're all hugging each other. And praise God, we don't walk in fear. Amen? We need wisdom? Yes, please, don't get me wrong. But we mustn't walk in fear. Now you see, we've got to learn something. And God is looking for people that are prepared to demonstrate great courage. A beautiful, beautiful quality. When we see it, I admire people with courage. When I was at school, and let me just say this, every single one of us here, in our hearts, every human being, they might ridicule people that show courage, but in our hearts, what do? We admire it. I remember the kids at school that were really battling, and they just came back at their work every day, and they just demonstrated great courage. It warmed my heart. Do anything for them. Amen. Courage. Others who just were prepared to let it ride and just ran away, basically. You see, God's looking for people in this day and age who have courage. Now I think of myself and the things God's told me to do. I must be honest, it fills my heart with great fear. Great fear. And I realize something, that what I have to do, the courage required, I don't think I've got it, to be honest. But you see, I've learned something. With the kingdom of heaven, you might feel that you don't have something. Something that we need, a spiritual gift or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, it's good to be honest and say, I don't have it. But we mustn't stop there. You see, the truth is, we may think we don't have it, but with God, we can always develop it. Does everybody see that? You see? And I recognize that what I have to do, I don't, as I stand, you have enough courage. But God showed me how I can glean this courage from His word that I need. You see, that's why the word is written. It's written to help us to draw from the word, through the Spirit of God, those qualities that we need to be overcomers. Amen? That's why this Bible is such a beautiful manual. It's not just a manual. It's much more than just a textbook. You understand? It's life itself. With the Holy Spirit, it's life itself. And you see, one of the techniques for you and I to develop this quality of courage in our hearts is to look in the Bible at the great men that demonstrated, and women who demonstrated, this quality. And I'm very, very fond of one particular passage of Scripture, which I've read quite a few times, and I hope to read now if I can find my glasses. All right, can you turn in your Bibles to a passage we've discussed many times, but it has so blessed my heart. Remember, the other title of this message is Stand Your Ground, and I'm going to explain that in more detail. 2 Samuel 23. I'm going to read 8 to 12 and then 18 to 21. Let me just give us the background to this. Okay, that's 2 Samuel 23, 8 to 12. Okay, this is in the Bible a passage where Samuel explains or describes part of David's life. Okay, as you know, David started out and he started off good. The prophet prophesied over him that he'd be king. But it didn't all go easy. Right? And let me just say something. If God's giving you a great vision, don't expect it to fall out of heaven. Right? Because, let me tell you, the greater calling on you in my life, the greater the preparation. The more rigorous the preparation. Alright? That's why I do not complain for one second when things don't go my way. I might get frustrated, but I do not complain. Why? Training. Thank you, Lord. Let me move through. Let me learn what I have to learn. You won't learn things of God if it just goes easy. Can I tell you that? But anyway, David started out, and he started with a very, very, how shall I say, rugged bunch of individuals. They were all people that were discontent. They were poverty stricken, they probably were robbers, they were probably bandits. And David starts out in the wilderness and a lot of people join him. These vagabonds, basically. But things happen, you see, and David goes through a whole lot of wars and processes, etc. And these same, so to speak, ruffians turn into a great fighting force. They become the army of Israel. And amongst them, this passage describes what the Bible calls mighty men. Mighty men, the great men of valor. So you see, in this whole lot of men that were all developing under the leadership of David, some of them excelled themselves and rose to the top. And you see, when you read about these people, you see something. They demonstrate immense courage. Immense courage. And so you see, the technique now is to hang around them, if I can put it that way. In the spirit, you understand. Just think about it. Which I do very often. I go back. Let's read the scriptures. I want to just point out a few thoughts here that are so precious to me. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Listen to this. Josheb Bathsheba. Isn't that a beautiful name? Josheb Bathsheba. The Tekemite. Chief among the captains. All right. He was the cream of the cream. And he was called Adina. No wonder. He's right. Now listen to this. Because he had killed 800 men. Just think about that. Just think about that. 800 men at one time. That's a great act of valor, is it not? Just think about it. Now, please, you know, the 800 men didn't all stand in a queue and, you know, take their turn and give him a chance. No, no. They must have come at him from all sides all the time. You get it? And to fight them off single-handedly must have required great strength, great stamina, great courage, but much more than that, the presence of God. Okay? Only with the presence, no matter how strong you are, it's only with the presence of God. And very often in the Bible, you see, for example, Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He's the one man in the Bible that outdid this Jochebed-Shebet, as far as killing men at one time. Because Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. But you see, it speaks there that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Only way you can do this is if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Do you see that? Now you see, when you and I just in the Spirit look at this man, Jochebed-Shebet, do you know what I see? And I spend time meditating on the kind of person he must have been. And certain qualities begin to emerge. For a start, he stands up tall. And of course, he's a great man physically, but it's much more than his physical strength. You can see in him something that I can only describe as an overwhelming confidence. An overwhelming confidence, not a trace of insecurity. Amen? The other thing I see in him is a tremendous humility. He stands alone. The chief of the chiefs. He stands alone. The loneliness of leadership. But he stands there. And on his face is such glory, such strength, and such power, and such confidence, you see. And you start to ask ourselves the question, where does he tap into? What does he tap into to have this? And I began to realize something. The source of his great confidence, and you see, by extension, the source of your and my confidence can be the same. But the source, I saw three things in this man that enabled him to stand and to defeat the enemies of Israel, single-handedly if necessary, without fear. The first thing is, you see, this mighty man knew who he was. Amen? He knew who he was. He recognized something. I am a captain in the army of Israel. Amen? I'm a defender of Israel. Can I say something? You and I can say the same thing. Did you know that? Every single one of us here should see ourselves as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen? Can you see that? He knew that he was in the right army. Let me say it that way. You see? The right army. The army of the living God. He's a captain in the army of the living God. Who can I fear? Can you see that written on his face? I can. I can. If you meditate, you can see it. But you see, more than that, number two, he recognized who his God was. Amen? He recognized that the army he was part of was the army of the great God of the universe. Amen? God was on his side. He could expect the power of God to come on him in a situation because he was serving the living God. Can I say something? You and I can say the same thing. Amen? If Almighty God is for us, who can be against us? Can you see it? Can you just grasp this? This is the source of great courage against overwhelming odds. And the third thing I wanted to share about this particular individual, he knew what his work was, his job was. It's right in the middle of what he was called to do. Can you see that? He knew what he was called to do. I'm a captain in the army. My job is to defend the nation. To defend all those I love. I'm out in the front line defending them. And God is on my side. And you see, when you understand that, such great courage can come upon us. Amen. Amen. So let's leave Jochebed-Shebet on his own out there. Let's go to Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I don't think that's a good start in life to have a father called Dodo, but anyway, he's the Aohite, whatever that is, one of the three mighty men with David. Now listen to this. When they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Okay, so they're out in battle, and the Philistines are there, and all the others have retreated. Now listen, this is what, okay, Eleazar does. He arose and attacked the Philistines. All on his own. He arose and attacked the Philistines. Listen to that. And his hand was weary. He carried on fighting until his hand was weary. And his hand stuck to the sword. He must have been wielding that sword like a maniac, right? Cutting through these Philistines on the left and on the right to the extent that it's almost his hands froze over the sword. But he just kept going. Once again, the Spirit of God came up. And he turned. Listen to this. And his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The question is, would the Lord have been able to bring about a great victory if Eleazar had not stood up and faced him? Are you? You see? Demonstrated, once again, great courage. Right? Let's move on to the third one. This is the last one I want to talk about here. We've spoken about him. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi. Also not a good start. But anyway, the Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. You see that? The people, all the soldiers, they were obviously outnumbered, overwhelmed, and they fled. Now, I need to explain something. Do you know the power of group fear? I don't think you understand it. God explained it to me in a dream that I had once. I used to teach history, and part of the history I used to teach was the Civil War in America. That war broke out between the North and the South. Very much in a sense, to describe it in our terms, the Northerners were, you know, from the people from the city, were the Johannesburg people. They were the city slickers, and the Confederates were the Platterlanders. You know, they were from the Vrystaat. Okay, very simply, that was the thinking. So now, when this war broke out, the people thought it's going, both sides thought it's going to last just a month. You know that? Just a month. The city slickers thought, those Southerners are so stupid, we'll just destroy them because they haven't got a clue. The Southerners, on the other hand, were the horsemen, the hunters, the tough guys. I thought, those wimps over there in the north, we'll just wipe them out. Can you see the thinking? They had volunteers from the north, people that were totally untrained. They signed up for 9 months, that's all. Because they thought, oh, it'll be over. Then they had the first main battle, right? It was Fort Sumter and that started things. But the first main battle was the battle known as the First Battle of Bull Run. Bull Run is a station here, by the way. Also called the First Battle of Manasseh, which is a river. Sorry, Manassas. Now, it was about 50 kilometers south of Washington. Do you know what happened? The people, the northerners, the citizenry went out to watch this like a picnic, you know, just to watch the entertainment. That's how stupid everybody was. I mean, they didn't understand this was war. And the Yankees, as they call them, marched in. They thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. The Confederates, on their horses, etc., able to shoot straight, they gave them a hiding. They gave them a hiding. And what started out as a sort of like battle turned into a complete disaster. And those Yankees, now, this is the point I'm trying to make. They fled back to Washington. And in this dream, you know what I saw? I saw like a valley and I saw these people running. You know what the message was? The horrible fear. You can't describe it intellectually. It's like something that grips the heart of man because these people in fear of their lives. And this group fear caused them just to run for their lives, okay? In complete panic and disarray. And so after that, they thought, oh, well, the Southern sort, we've got it made. But of course, things changed. What I'm trying to say is this. This is what happened here. Listen, there was a piece of ground. So the people fled from the Philistines. Just pick it up. All the soldiers, they see they're overwhelmed. They maybe lost a few people and they're running for their lives. Absolute terror. I can't describe it. Can't describe it. If you've ever been in a situation when your life is threatened, you'll know what I'm talking about. Absolute terror grips the heart of man. Now, listen to this. This man, Shammah. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field to defend it. and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Isn't that awesome? While everybody's running in fear, one man, listen, one man demonstrates incredible courage. And the word I want to focus on here is he stationed. Okay, the King James says he stood, but he stationed. The Hebrew word is yatsab. Yatsab. Now, yatsab means to place anything so as to stay. With a view to stay. Do you see that? I want you to get the contrast. Here everybody in fear is fleeing. One man, and it's only a lentil field, by the way. And there's significance in that as well. But what does he do? He yatsab himself. He stationed himself with the heart, I'm not going anywhere. Can you pick that up? I am not going anywhere. Once again, you look at his face in the spirit, and what can you see? Grim determination. Great confidence, great faith, and terrific courage. Amen. When I read that, it thrills my soul. It thrills my soul. You can enter into these things in the spirit. Let me tell you, there's so many lessons to be learned. But you see, what did he do? He stationed himself. What's the message? You see, once again, he knew who he was. I'm a soldier in the army of the living God. Alright? Who are these Philistines? Number two, he knew his God. He knew the power available to those who call upon their God. Amen? And he knew his job was what? To defend Israel. He was right in the middle of what God had called him to do. You see, and because of that, he could draw tremendous courage from God in the spirit. And he stood his ground, he took them all on, and God, the Bible says, won a great victory. Once again, the question is, would God have won a great victory if he had carried on running with the rest? Which would have been the normal thing to do. Had I been one of the soldiers, I'd probably be in the front going back. I did the 100 meters once. I was pretty good over the first 2 meters, by the way. Thereafter, it was a disaster. But if I was in a situation like that, I would probably have been pretty good over the first 300 meters. Amen. But you see, I need to change. Why? Because God is available to us who believe. Amen. And you see, the other part of this message is learning to stand our ground. Now, let me just say this. You'll notice that when fear comes, there's a natural reaction. And by far the majority of people, historically, will always operate according to what? Fear. Is that not true? Is that not true? The third wave. If we start talking the right stuff, there would be no third wave. There wouldn't have even been a second wave, or not necessarily a first wave. But you see, we haven't learnt as people to yatsab. Stand our ground. Now listen, the standing our ground operates not just in the great national arena. It starts with you and my life, my lives. Amy, can I just say something? The world system has got a plan for your life. Did you know that? And my life. The world system has got a plan for it. I became very aware of that plan early on. But you see, God's also got a plan. Amen? Can I just say something? The world's plan is going one way. God's plan will be going exactly the opposite. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. The saddest day for my father was when I had to tell him, sorry, Dad, I'm not going to be a lawyer. The greatest moment in his life would have been when he could have said to all his cronies, his fishing and drinking buddies, just sort of offhanded like this. Oh, they say, what's your son doing? Oh, my son's a lawyer. He would have loved that. Oh, my soul. Advocate. Well, I gave him the pleasure of being able to call me an advocate, because technically I am one. But he couldn't say that my son is a lawyer, because I never rose to the occasion. But you see, early on, let me just say this. I realized something. The world system wanted to push me in a certain direction. But God had a hand on my life. And I realized something. I had a choice to make, you see. And I thank God to this day that I made that choice. Can you all say amen? Because I made that choice, many people have been touched. Shanae got baptized. She would never have got baptized, possibly, if I didn't yet sub. I'm not saying she wouldn't, but can you see? We've got to stand our ground. Now listen, everybody here, there's a calling God has on our lives. Amen? But to fulfill our calling, and I always ask myself, why don't people fulfill their calling? It seems to me obvious that you have to do that. But you see, that obviousness, as it were, doesn't really operate if you understand the pressure of the world. There's always pressure to do what the world wants you to do. Why? Because what the world wants you to do will not affect the kingdom of darkness. It will help them. And you see, going and taking control of your and my life, what does it require? Can I tell you something? It requires great courage. Great courage. Amen? You will not achieve it if you do not demonstrate great courage. At some stage, you're going to have to say to people, I'm not doing that. Right? Right? Make people very upset. But at the end of the day, whose life is it? Are you hearing me? And please note something. When you and I make a stand, it affects other people. Amen? It affects other people. Israel was able to return to the spoil, having not been destroyed themselves. Why? Because one man, that's up. Are you hearing me? Okay, so in our lives, brothers and sisters, you and I have to decide. And please, it's only a decision that you can make. Alright? But it is going to require, this is what I'm trying to say, great courage. I'm trusting God to give us the courage today. Amen. The next thing is, you and I need to take a stand where we work and where we are studying. Amen. Because where you work, where your space is, that's your lentil field. You get it? That's your lentil field. What's the significance of a lentil field? It's common. Amen? It's all over the place. People could easily have said to Shama, why are you bothered about a lentil field? Let it ride. You get it? We don't care if we lose the lentil field. There are plenty more in Israel. Can you see the thinking? Oh well, people want to invade my office space with blasphemy. Let it ride. So what? Who cares? I want you to understand something. It matters. It matters. Are you hearing me? It matters. God's looking for somebody in that office space to do what? Yatsab. Demonstrate courage against all odds and say, listen, this is my area. I honor God. So I expect you to honor Him when you come here. Are you hearing me? I expect you to honor Him. Have the courage to speak to people like that. And they might laugh at you behind their back. In fact, they will laugh at you behind your back and call you, oh, holy Joe. Oh, this, oh, that, you know. Oh, righteous one and all these things. But guess what? In their hearts of hearts, they will speak to you. And let me just say, if you and I do not take a stand where we are at, the devil will ride over that whole place. And defeat Israel, so to speak. Are you hearing? Can you see the importance of you and I having the courage, and that's what it will take, courage to make a stand. We need to have the courage to make a stand. Amen? Is this easy?
Nothing.
Much easier just to let it ride and oh, that's fine and blah, blah, blah. We had a friend, George Snyman. George and Carolyn, they went to the mission field, but he was in the IT industry. And he tells the story how they had the office party, you see, one day. And of course, now George was a straight down the line guy. I mean, it was right or it was wrong. And he loved God. There was no question about that. So here he is at this office party, you see. And everybody's having a toot here and a toot there and more than one toot, you understand? Along comes his boss. The man who your employment depends upon promotion, etc. And this boss is all liquor, and he says, Georgie, and he's trying to try and hug him, and you know, all this stuff. The man had a few beers too many. So George puts his hand on his chest and pushes him away. His boss now, he's fraught, turns around and walks out. Can I tell you something? That takes courage. But he had the guts to do that. He wasn't there much longer. He was out on his way out. But you see, that's kind of statement. Now they'll all once again laugh at him, ridicule him, blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you something. In their heart of hearts, they respect the man standing up for what is right. Are you hearing me? And God's expecting you and I to do exactly the same thing. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing him? You see, God's looking for people with courage. Courage needs to be the hallmark of the Christians. We need to be known as people that are brave, not weak and sort of namby-pamby, lost my eight sort of thing. No, we need to be known as people that don't go shouting the odds, but when it comes to the crunch, we stand our ground. Amen? The other thing we need to stand for, stand our ground, is what we believe. Can you all say amen? We made a choice in this church. We will not, under any circumstance, compromise what we see written in the living word of God. Let me tell you, that stand makes you very unpopular sometimes, not just with the world, but with other Christians. Amen? Especially when it comes to the important issues of life. Health, finance, protection, those things are important to God. Amen? Christ went about preaching the good news. Amen? But you see, there's a lot of pressure just to sweep it under the carpet and just keep it all about being holy and loving one another. Now listen, in this church we love one another. Amen? And we also believe in living a holy life. Amen? But let me tell you something. We need to teach people how to combat the lies of the devil and overcome the strategies of the devil, which means making us sick and making us poor and killing us off with sickness and disease and calamity. We have to preach against that. Amen. Is that popular? No. Why? But you see, the devil's worked in the minds of people to think that anything that is good doesn't come from God. Can you believe it? Oral Roberts started preaching that God is a good God, and oh, the flack he took for that. Can you believe it? Can I ask you a question? Is God good or isn't he? Does he love us or doesn't he? Does he want us well or does he want us sick? Really, it's so obvious. But you see, those things that are important, let me tell you, every time there's something that's important, it becomes an issue. You can't speak about talking in tongues. Oh, my soul. Shandala basinda karatu. There we go. I will speak in tongues wherever I am. Praise be to God. Does it sound funny? Oh, of course it does. You sound like a fool. Yes, I do. There was a time my family said to me, stop speaking in tongues all the time. You're embarrassing us. Do you remember that? I was always jabbering in tongues. And the kids sort of said, we've got a friend that he's got two sons that were at Tim's school. Shagan. What's his son's name?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, yes. Emmanuel was just saying that he'd bring friends to their home. And the friends would say, what is that noise coming out of the shower? It's my dad speaking in tongues. He wasn't ashamed. Neither do we have to be ashamed. Amen? We don't have to be ashamed. We do not have to be ashamed of the gospel. Are you hearing me? But let me tell you, to speak these things in certain circles is going to require what? You see, and if you and I want to be loved out there, because we conform, write it off. Okay? Not going to work. Why? Because you see, the kingdom of heaven goes that way, and the world system goes that way. And the world system wants you to just come along. Come with us. Come down to our level. Come down. Let's just, you know, don't make us feel bad. Because you see, when you and I stand up for the kingdom of heaven, it actually convicts people. You know what happens? You know why they hate us? Can I tell you why? You know why they hate us? Because their spirit man inside is saying, yes, yes. And their soul man, untrained, is saying, no, no. You see, in their whole life, what have they done to their spirit man? Shut up! Die! You hear me? And you come along and you start to prompt their spirit man and they feel conflicted. And so what's the answer? Get rid of the bad news, or so they think. Are you? It doesn't take much to understand this fight that you're in, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Go out there and start speaking about how wicked homosexuality is. Everybody's quiet. Just try it, and you'll understand exactly, well, you will know what I'm talking about. They come on to you like a ton of bricks. How can you possibly say that? Homophobe. For information, I'm a homophobe. And I'm proud of it, you see. You see, the world system wants you and I, as males, to be weak. Did you know that? Especially if you're white. They want you to be weak and pathetic. Well, for your information, I'm a white alpha male. Amen? And I'm proud of it. Red-blooded. Hallelujah. Nothing to be ashamed of. Amen? The fact that I'm born white is nothing to be ashamed of. Are you hearing me? I'm proud of my heritage. You see? Go and cower in the corner there. No ways. No way, Jose. Alright? Doesn't mean I'm pushing my belief system onto anybody else. But I'm not going to compromise it. Can you see that? Let me tell you, in our society, more and more, that is going to require what? Courage. And you see, God looks down from heaven, and in those situations where the whole of Israel is running the wrong way, amen? What is God looking for? What is He looking for? Men and women and children who have got what? Courage. Courage enough to stand up and say, no. Are you? You see, one thing I realize about preaching the word of God, it's quite dangerous. Can I tell you why? God puts a message on your heart, and what's His intention? We teach the word, everybody says, amen, hallelujah. What happens tomorrow? The test. You get it? The test. Mark my words. If you're listening to this message and it's resonating with your heart, don't be surprised if during this week you get challenged, all right? And the armies come your way and start to fool around with you, and the devil's saying, okay, Christian, let's see if you really are going to do something about this. Wouldn't it be lovely if every one of us said, for your information, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to stand. Are you hearing me? I'm going to stand. What I believe is precious. You know, can I just say something? In Karina's case, her husband eventually gets baptized. If we had been sort of wishy-washy about this thing and said, oh, it doesn't really matter. It's a great ministry in America, let me tell you. And it saddened my heart when somebody said that this great ministry, I won't mention any names, said that, you know, we don't agree on baptism, but there's a lot of things we can agree on. Your salvation, for example. And as if to say, oh, well, let everybody just do their thing when it comes to baptism, but get them saved at least. Can I just say something? I thought about it. You know, your salvation is critically important, right? But can I just say that baptism has everything to do with ongoing sanctification. You understand? Sanctification. And you see, the truth of the matter is, you can get saved, you and I can get saved, but if we do not take care of our sanctification, you know what will happen ultimately? We'll lose our salvation. You get it? So we can't compromise. You can't say, oh, it doesn't matter if you don't get baptized. It matters a great deal if you don't get baptized, if you're a child of God. Let me go a bit further. It matters a great deal as a Christian if you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Getting people saved and baptized is the easy part. They will not be able to stand if they do not get filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Because the devil now wants to destroy them. Furthermore, Furthermore, let me just say this unequivocally. It's not a case of just getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We need ongoing education and development of the Spirit. Are you all hearing me? If we hope to stand. If we hope to stand. That's what this church is about. People standing, not just being swept away because the devil comes with all his nonsense. You see? We've got to learn these things. But what does it take? Just courage. People are scared to come to this church. Can you believe it? Scared. What are they scared of? Does anybody bite you? Has anybody bitten you here, Haley? No. Not yet. We're working on it. Does anybody bite you? Ever since you came to this church, everybody come and slap you. Sort of. Did anybody come and say, "Oh, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's shake until you start to speak in a funny tongue." People are terrified. Why? Who is behind that? Can I ask you this question? Who is behind that? Why? To do what? Stop people, right? From growing in God. Are you hearing me? What is required in all of our lives? In all of these people's lives? Courage. Courage. Courage to face up to issues. Amen? Everybody says, "Oh, we want a small, cozy little church." You know what? People come into a small, cozy little church and what do they discover? There's consequences in small and cozy because what you do is found out. Do you hear me? You have to start taking responsibility for your life. Amen? And most people, can I just say this, sad to say, do not have the courage. They do not have the courage. They're quite happy just to live with their little problems. You see, what does it take to stand up and to say, "Listen, I've got issues. I want to get it resolved. Maybe something happened as a child. Needs to be resolved. I need to just get rid of it." Are you hearing me? What does that take? Courage. Let me tell you, when people come and they say, "Listen, I've got this problem and I'm so ashamed of it, but this is what's in my life." You know, we don't laugh at them. I mean, we don't ridicule them at all. Can I tell you what the absolute truth is? We admire their what? Courage. Courage. They want to get rid of this thing bad enough that they're prepared to be honest. And what do we all want? We all want to be accepted, don't we? We all want to come across as Holy Joe. Me especially. Holy Lamb. Hallelujah. No problems here, you see. So we cover them all up. But we don't grow. Are you hearing me? We do not grow. What does it take to say, "Listen, I want to get this thing right. I'm going to be honest with somebody for a change"? What does that take? Let me tell you. Great, great courage. Because you're afraid of being rejected. You see, the truth of the matter is, in the right hands, people will not reject you. They'll respect you. They'll do anything they can to help you. Us grow. Are you hearing me? Can you see how important this wonderful ingredient is? This wonderful quality. Of course, the great example is Christ himself. Going to the cross, do you think he thought, "Oh, this is going to be a picnic"? He knew in advance what was going to happen. He knew it because he had read it in the Bible that he studied. Isaiah told him, "Listen, boy, this is what's going to happen to you." Told his disciples, they couldn't accept it. Let me tell you, going to Jerusalem. I mean, there's a scripture I don't understand. He said, a prophet has to die in Jerusalem. Why does a prophet have to die in Jerusalem? I don't know. Somebody can help with that, I'd be grateful. But he knew he was going to die. He walked into it. How many of us would willingly, they're going to slough you in Pretoria, Graham, because of your anti-gay right attitude? I would say, "I'm going to Cape Town." What should I say? No, I'll keep quiet there. No, what I should say is, "I'm going anyway." Amen? One of the most powerful scriptures. I'm almost finishing here. Paul the Apostle. I mean, there's another man of great courage. Great courage. As a young Christian, I've shared this before, but I'll never forget it. You see, because in my heart of hearts, you know, there was something. There was a desire to be a great man in my heart. It's planted there. In everybody's heart. And I knew I wasn't qualifying. You understand? I knew I was far off track. I realized that I was basically a spoiled brat. And I didn't know how to get out of it. And I latched onto Christianity and Christ. And I'm reading the Bible. And there this Paul the Apostle, who I didn't know from a bar of soap. I mean, you know, sort of man wearing sackcloth and with a beard. And I don't know, he went around doing stuff. But they dragged him out of the city because he was preaching the gospel. And they stoned him. They stoned him. Put him in the pit, taking big rocks and throwing. How would you like to have that happen to you? I would be, I can't stand the sight of blood, let alone my own. But they left him for dead. They thought he was dead. And all the disciples sat around there and they sort of, I think they prayed half-hearted prayers. Oh God, what do we do now? Sort of thing. And I believe it was there that God took him up to the third heaven, which he speaks about later on. But you know what? He revives. I can see him there on the ground, just a mass of pulp, basically. And then they see the one eye blinks. Oh. He probably left his body and came back in and sort of said, oh, this hurts a bit, but I'll just, you know. And he got up. Now listen, this is the point that actually spoke to my heart and just told me that this Christianity is for me. You know what it says? And Paul went back into the city. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that courage? The people have just killed you. Pick yourself up and you go back. Why? My job isn't done. When I read that, it thrilled my soul. Thrilled my soul. And I realized there's something in this for me. And my prayer for all of us, that every single one of us here will be people that demonstrate in the times to come. And already I've seen it. I've seen it already in some of our folk in a wonderful way. But demonstrate great courage. Great courage. Why? We know who we are. We are heirs of the Father. A royal priesthood. Every one of us. Amen? We are great people because of our inheritance. We are great people. We know the power of our God. Amen? And we know also, this is the great thing, that we're in the middle of what He's called us to do. We have those three ingredients working for us. We've got this Word and the Holy Spirit. We can draw what? Great? Great courage. Let the weak say, I am strong. Can you see that? Let the poor say, we are rich. Why? Because of what the Lord has done. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this precious message from your Word. Thank you of the examples of all the great men that have gone before us. Think of the great heroes of the faith. Lord, we see their great courage, all the people who stood up and were counted and even martyred because of what they believed. I pray, Lord, as we face the treacherous times that have been loosed upon the earth by the enemy, and we will see, Lord, many, many running away, fear-filled heart. Our prayers that we will all make a stand where we are. Just quietly make a stand. With that confidence and boldness on our faces. As we stand our ground. And trust you for great courage. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Praise be to God.